The readings for today's Sunday are actually taken from the fifth Sunday after Epiphany. The epistle is from St. Paul's letter to the Colossians. Brethren, put on as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, a heart of mercy, kindness, humility, meekness, patience. Bear with one another and forgive one another. If anyone has a grievance against any other, even as the Lord has forgiven you, so also do you forgive. But above all these things, have charity, which is the bond of perfection. And may the peace of Christ reign in your hearts. Unto that peace, indeed, you are called in one body. Show yourselves thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you abundantly. In all wisdom, teach and admonish one another by psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing in your hearts to God by his grace. Whatever you do in word or in work, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks to God the Father through Jesus Christ our Lord. Please stand for the Gospel. The Gospel is taken from the 13th chapter of the Gospel of St. Matthew. At that time, Jesus spoke this parable to the crowds. The kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed good seed in his field. But while men were asleep, his enemy came, sowed weeds among the wheat, and went away. And when the blade sprung up and brought forth fruit, then the weeds appeared as well. And the servants of the householder came and said to him, Sir, didst thou not sow good seed in thy field? How then does it have weeds? He said to them, An enemy has done this. And the servants said to him, Wilt thou have us go and gather them up? No, he said, lest in gathering the weeds you root up the wheat along with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. And at the harvest time I will say to the reapers, Gather up the weeds first and bind them in bundles to burn, but gather the wheat into my barn. Please be seated. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. Dear Reverend Father, dear faithful, if you have the opportunity to go to the city of Rome and you walk around and start visiting some of the 400 churches that apparently that are in Rome, you will find the vast majority of them are in the Baroque style. And so this makes one particular church stand out among all the others, a little church along the Tiber that is in the Gothic style. It's the only church in Rome that's in the Gothic style. So this church is special because it is the only one that is Gothic. But there's something else that makes that church stand out. And that is that it has a museum inside of it called the Purgatorium, the Museum for the Poor Souls. And in this museum, you will find some amazing artifacts from apparitions of souls of purgatory and the proof that the souls of purgatory left behind of their apparition, often in the form of a burn mark from the hand of the soul in purgatory. The reason why this museum exists is because there was a French parish priest of this church. This church is called Sacred Heart of Suffrage. And the church experienced a fire at some point. I don't know if the fire was started by a poor soul in purgatory or what, but after the fire was over, and the priest was looking at the damage, he noticed in one of the walls there was the image of what looked like to be a person, like some soul was kind of burnt into the wall, the image of a person. I myself saw this in September, and I took a picture of this wall where you see shadowy figure of a person inside the wall. So this priest, Father Victor Jouet, in the late 1800s, he decided that he would start a museum that would collect various proofs around the world of impressions made by the poor souls in purgatory. So this is what he did. And if you go there, there are 10 various articles, books, pieces of clothing that have been stamped in some way by a poor soul in purgatory. For example, there's a shirt there that it has the burn print of a hand. And this was the shirt of a Belgian man, Joseph Leleu. He was living in Belgium in the late 1700s. And what happened was his mother died. and his mother left some money to have some masses said for her soul. But unfortunately, Joseph was not living the Catholic faith. He had lapsed from the Catholic faith. So he neglected to do this. Then one night, he started hearing some strange sounds that were frightening to him. He didn't know where they were coming from. And this happened night after night after night. These weird sounds that were terrifying. And finally, on the 11th night, his mother appeared to him and said, "I was the one making those noises. And you were supposed to have those masses said for my soul so I could go to heaven. But you haven't done that. And by the way, you're not leading a very good life. You've lapsed from your Catholic faith. What are you doing? Get your life in line. Get those masses said for me." And in order to leave some proof of her appearance to him, she put her hand on his shirt, and the shirt burned in the form of a hand at that spot. And that's one of the articles you can see at the Purgatorio Museum. Well, the good news is that Joseph very much took this to heart, the appearance of his own mother. He had the masses said, and he reformed his life. He became a very pious man. He even started a congregation for lay folk, and died in the odor of sanctity. But these proofs that through the mercy of God we have of the existence of purgatory should be very comforting to us. This is something we believe as Catholics, that there is a real place, purgatory, where souls who have departed in the state of grace are purifying their souls. That we may ourselves perhaps one day go there. Should be a consolation for us to have our belief confirmed in purgatory and a reminder of its existence. Of course, it's especially during this month of November that we think about the poor souls, hopefully are motivated to pray for the poor souls and to get them delivered from this state of purgation. So let's think a little bit about purgatory, about why it exists, and what it's like to be a soul in purgatory. What is the state of the souls of those who are there? First of all, why does purgatory exist? Well, Scripture, there are two passages, two quotations from Scripture that give us the two reasons for God to create this place and to place souls in that place. First of all, at the end of the book of the Apocalypse, we read, "Nothing defiled can enter heaven." And then our Lord in the Gospel of St. Matthew, chapter 12, he says, "Every idle word that men shall speak, they shall render an account for it in the day of judgment." So these are the two reasons. First of all, nothing defiled can enter heaven. So if we die in the state of grace where we have the love of God in our soul, and yet we have habits of sin, we have various taints on our soul, we're not completely aligned with God, we're not completely in love with God, then we're not ready to enter heaven. We need to be straightened out. We need to be made completely conformed to the will of God before we enter heaven. And that's what purgatory is for. It's there to purify us, to get us ready to be in the presence of God for all eternity. But then, secondly, we're going to be judged when we die. God is just. God is fair. This is one of the attributes of God, his fairness. And this should be a comfort to us because he's going to give us a reward for our good. In order to be fair to us, he has to give us a great reward for our good. And God rewards better than anybody else because he's the greatest possessor of gifts. But to be fair, God also has to punish us for the crimes we've committed, the sins we have committed in this life. So if we have not made up for the sins that we've committed, if we haven't done the proper punishment, suffered the proper punishment for them in this life, well, in order to satisfy justice, that's going to have to take place after this life is over, and purgatory is where that's going to happen. So those are the two reasons for the existence of purgatory. But what is it like to be there? What is it like for the souls in purgatory? What kind of place is purgatory? There's two main characteristics for the souls who are there. First of all, love, And secondly, suffering. Purgatory is a place of love. The souls in purgatory have a very intense love of God. You know how it is in this life where we try to live our Catholic faith on this earth, but we only see the supernatural things through a veil. There's a veil blocking our vision, not enabling us to see God as he actually is. If we are able to see God as he actually is, we would be completely and utterly captivated with him. We could not help but be totally consumed with the love of God. But as it is, in this life, we only see the things of faith through a veil. And we struggle to make what we do match up with what we believe. We believe all these truths of the Catholic faith, but we don't follow through exactly as we should. We aren't always faithful to God as we should be. Well, when we leave this life and we have our judgment and we face our Lord Jesus Christ, the veil is lifted. And then we see clearly all the things of this earth, all the things of this life are wiped away. We are no longer on this earth. We see God as he is, not in the beatific vision, but we understand very clearly, I am made for God. God alone can satisfy me. He must be my exclusive love. And so for the poor souls, they understand this clearly now, that they are in purgatory, and as a result, they have a very intense desire to see God. They love God very much. They love God with their whole heart, their whole soul, their whole mind, their whole strength, and they're dying to see him, to be in his presence. St. Catherine of Genoa, she wrote a little work on purgatory. It was a special focus of her spirituality. And she presents an image, an analogy of what it's like in purgatory. She says, imagine if the only thing that could nourish human beings was a single loaf of bread. There was just one loaf of bread by which all human beings could be nourished. And just by looking at the loaf of bread, your hunger would be satisfied. And then you would have all these people traveling to try to reach this loaf of bread. And what would it be like on their journey to visit the loaf of bread and have their hunger satisfied? Well, first of all, their hunger would increase as they were on the journey. You know, if the longer you go without food, the more hungry you are. So they would get hungrier and hungrier as they would get closer to the loaf of bread. And also, as long as they did not see that loaf of bread, but yet were getting closer, their desire for the loaf would increase. They would have a more and more intense desire to see that loaf of bread and have their hunger nourished. Well, she says, St. Catherine says, this is what it's like to be in purgatory. You have this very intense desire to have your love satisfied, your love for God satisfied by the vision of God, just to see God, to be in the presence of God. And as your time in purgatory goes on, you become more and more purified. You become more and more capable of loving God, of being close to God. And as a result, the intensity of the love of the souls in purgatory increases. And as a result, it may seem paradoxical. As a result, purgatory is actually a place of happiness. We derive great happiness from love, from loving. And the souls in purgatory are full of love. Purgatory is a place of love, of great love of God. So they have this intense love of God, which at the same time is a source of happiness to them and a source of suffering. You know how people are when they're in love. Like when they're in the presence of the one they love, they're in a state of ecstasy. You know, they don't know who they are. They're just like in the presence of their beloved. And when they're not in the presence of their beloved, they're in a state of misery because they desire to be once more in the presence of their beloved. But their misery is like a happy misery. They are happy even thinking about the one that they love. And this is how it is, if we can imagine. This is how it is with the poor souls in purgatory. The second characteristic of the state of the poor souls is suffering. suffering. Of course, they suffer this intense desire. There's a suffering that comes from that, a certain aching for the presence of God. But there's also the suffering that comes from the purification of their soul that is taking place. That's why we speak about the fires of purgatory. You know, the fire has that property, it has the double property, that fire purifies things. If you have a metal that you mine, well, you burn it with fire in order to remove all the impure metal, so you're just left with the precious metal, like gold, for instance. So you have to burn it at a very high temperature, and you know all of the lesser metals are going to burn away, they're going to go away, and you're just left with pure gold. And that's what happens in purgatory. We are burned and purified by a mysterious fire. But fire also hurts. Like when you're being burned, you hurt. Fire causes pain. So while the souls are being purified, it's painful for them for all of their selfishness and their bad habits to be rooted out. If we could switch metaphors, if you allow me to switch metaphors and kind of appropriate our Lord's parable to apply it in a way that is not what he exactly intended it to be applied for, but you know, how we have during this life, our life, and God is the sower, and he's sowing seeds of grace in our soul. And if we accept those graces, we cooperate with those graces, good habits will spring up in our soul. It's like a good wheat springing up in our soul. But meanwhile, there's our enemy, the devil, and there's also our own selfishness, the world, the flesh, and the devil, who are sprinkling seeds of badness in us. And to the degree that we allow that to grow in our soul, there's these weeds that grow up. And unlike the parable, we're supposed to root those weeds out now. We're supposed to get those out during our life. But if they're not rooted out during this life, then they're going to have to be rooted out in the life to come. And rooting out weeds is painful, or burning a soul is painful. St. Catherine of Genoa, she talks about the fires of purgatory in terms of rays of divine love coming towards us. And we're like being purified in the crucible of divine love. And she says it's like God holds us in his hand almost with the fire, in order to purify us and get us ready for heaven. Here's what she says, and she likes to switch metaphors as well. I see certain rays and shafts of light that go out from that divine love toward the soul and are penetrating and strong enough to seem as though they must destroy not only the body, but the soul too, were that possible. God holds the soul in the fire until its every imperfection is burnt away and it is brought to perfection. So, my dear faithful, this is the amazing state of the souls in purgatory. They are full of the love of God. All of the things that deceive us in this life, all of the illusions we have in this life, are swept away, and they are completely consumed with this love of God. They are seeking, they are so desiring to be in the presence of God. And that's where we come in. We must pray for them. We must desire for them to have the completion of their desire. Think about your loved ones especially. Who remembers that your loved ones lived on this earth? You. Nobody else. Who else is going to remember them? Their friends, you know, their coworkers, no doubt have forgotten them, especially if they died 50 years ago or 20, even 20 years ago, even 10 years ago. People get forgotten. You are the ones who are there to pray for them and get them into heaven as soon as possible. What a beautiful work of mercy it is towards your loved ones to do that. But this doctrine of purgatory, this reflection on purgatory, it must be also a source for us to think about our own life. Look how this doctrine brings home to us this truth very powerfully, that I am made for God. That's why we are made. We are made for the presence of God. Only God can satisfy my soul. Only he can truly make me happy. I must try to foster the love of God in my soul during this life as far as possible. And meanwhile, I must try not to do those things that will invoke the justice of God upon me. I must try to avoid those sins. I must try not to accumulate a bunch of punishment for myself that I haven't expiated. And so when I go appear before God, our Lord says, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You have the love of me in your soul. But at the same time, you have many sins to make up for. You will have 1,500 years of purgatory, or however long it is." How much better for us not to commit those sins, and also for us to root out those habits of sins, whatever inclinations that we habitually give into, to root them out. Let us especially pray to Our Lady, who, as you know, had no sin whatsoever. She especially wants to assist us in this great struggle that we have in this life to avoid sin. And so hopefully we must shoot for this goal that when we pass from this life, we can even jump over purgatory. We can skip purgatory and go straight into the presence of God because of our love for Him. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.